Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Wave Break Podcast. If you're new here, I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, and every Monday, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores to figure out what they're doing to take their stores to the next level and how you can do the same. Today on the show, I've got John Kennedy. He's the founder of Hey Carson and StoreTasker, and he's also the guy behind the Shopify Entrepreneurs Facebook group. And now, a common question that gets asked over and over again in the Shopify realm is, how do I find a good developer? Now, John's really good at this because he's hired dozens of developers himself, and today, he's sharing his secrets. Stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by my consultancy, Wavebreak. We help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. Is your email marketing stuck? Do you feel like you could be doing it better? I put together a free checklist that lays out exactly what you need to do to take your email marketing to the next level. Get your free checklist at emailrevenuechecklist.com. Thanks for coming on the show, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dylan. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, to get started, I guess, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I was an e-commerce entrepreneur. I had moderate success in that space. I'm a non-technical entrepreneur. So I've always, you know, ever since I started maybe 10, 12 years ago, I've always had to hire designers and developers without having the skill, the actual skill. So it's always been a challenge. After my e-commerce stores, I decided to launch Carson a couple years ago in 2015 because I felt there was a need in the Shopify space for merchants that, you know, they just needed small things done and they were getting priced out from agencies and developers, and hiring offshore was an option, but they, you know, that's also a tricky way to go about it. So I launched Carson, and that has been running for a couple years now, and it's been, you know, we have a strong brand in the Shopify expert space. We've helped over 6,000 merchants with small jobs. By small, I mean jobs up to 1 hour, like theme tweaks, styling, app configuration, some graphic jobs, app setups, all kinds of little things. The list is really long. It's as long as, you know, as there are entrepreneurs. There's so many things people ask us for.
That's really cool. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. I think you're solving a really big problem in the Shopify and e-commerce space, like I said before. And it's something that a lot of my clients come to me and colleagues' clients, like everyone's asking this question, like, how do I find a good developer? Everyone's dying to hire a developer to, you know, fix their store or totally update it and redesign it. But the problem is, like, people don't even know where to start and where to find that developer. So I guess first things first, I want to hire a developer. Where do I even start?
Yeah, I think it's a really common question. And I think we need to look at the space in general. Everybody knows what a plumber costs or a car mechanic costs. So when we go and we bring our car to the, you know, to the mechanic, we're not excited about it, but we know it's going to cost, you know, 60, 70, 80 bucks an hour. People know that because they've been around for 100 years. When it comes to development, design, engineering, I think a lot of e-commerce entrepreneurs are not aware of what, you know, what these skills and these engineers command as prices. The other thing I would say before looking for a developer is really understanding at least the basics of the technology that we're working with. If a lot of your listeners are Shopify users, you know, it's important to understand the basics. If you don't understand the basics, how can you be successful at hiring or contracting a developer? I mean, you're gonna be shooting in the dark. And unfortunately, this is the approach a lot of people take. So to come back to your question, where to start, I think looking at your own skills as an e-commerce store owner is important, and more importantly, what you're not good at and what you need to delegate. I think bookkeeping is an example of one of the first things I delegate, and development design is also not core to running an e-commerce business. So that's another thing that I'd look to delegate. Where to look? You know, in the Shopify space, there's the Shopify experts directory, which, you know, a lot of people go to, but unfortunately, a lot of people are priced out. A lot of bootstrapped e-commerce entrepreneurs are trying to, you know, they're cash strapped, and when they get a quote from an agency, which is not always unfair, it's based on value and based on that agency's, you know, segment, they're a little bit intimidated and they get priced out. So a lot of people then look to platforms like Upwork or Fiverr, where a lot of the work is offshore, and the core, it's a lot of people are successful at it, but a lot more are not, because there's always a cultural and there's often a cultural and communication gap when you're offshoring work, and that's risky business. So I think we come in, we've tried to kind of close that gap and allow merchants to get small things done, you know, with smaller budgets and kind of incrementally grow their store. And, you know, so far I think we're able to kind of solve one of those big and unsexy problems in the space, which is, you know, hiring help. I think it's a technical help is even a bigger challenge.
You touched on price a little bit. Does more expensive mean better? And how much should I expect to pay for a good developer?
Yeah, this is a good question. I think if you look at what's going on now, you can get development work for $15 an hour, and you can get development work for $250 an hour. It really depends. Like, agencies that are based in North America, or even developers that are freelance developers, you know, their cost of living is high, but they're also a little bit, so they're charging those higher rates, but they're also more in touch with who your potential customer is if you're selling in Canada, US, or the UK. Some base their price off of their overhead. Some of them have offices, some of them don't. So it's important to really, you know, not just hire the first person you speak to, but talk to a few teams, talk to a few freelancers, understand value just like you would if you're going to buy a home. Like, you're not going to go and see one home and gauge the market by the price of that one home. People have different situations, and you need to measure the cost of development or design versus the value that it's going to bring to you. So, you know, one tip that I've heard in the past is, you know what your time is worth, and delegating that stuff out at a price could give you a sense of whether or not that price will work for you or not.
So when I'm comparing a few developers to find which is the best for me, how do I know which is the best for me? What should I look for?
I think having hired, you know, over 100 people in the course of my career, I think the number one thing that defines whether or not an interaction between a non-technical person and a technical contractor is communication. Communication skills, command of language that you're dealing in, nuances in language are important, because you're already speaking two different languages if you're a non-technical person, you know, trying to express a technical job to like an engineer. So you don't compromise on the person's command of language, and also their responsiveness to you. I think just in the first couple of interactions, you can tell if you have a rapport with someone, whether it's through email or in person. And I think instinct is really important. But also, yeah, I think that's where I would start. And then you look at things like attitude and skill profile and portfolio and all these things. But communication for us is always a top priority.
So on the flip side of that, what are some warning signs to look for?
I think, you know, for us, we deal with English speaking customers. And, you know, we have a team of developers that we've hired to communicate with Shopify merchants. The projects are so small that there's no project manager between the, you know, the merchant, the non-technical merchant, and the developers. So, you know, we'll always look, again, coming back to communication, we'll always look for like impeccable English writing, because it starts with that. And if we're missing that, then you know, it's a no-go. I think some, like in it depends. Like if you're hiring a contractor or if you're hiring a staff member, there's some nuances and some differences there. But I think just general attitude, but it also falls on the person hiring. Like, you know, you need to own the job description that you're hiring for. And this comes back to what I was saying earlier. Like if you don't understand the basics of the technology that you're working with, you're going to be ill-equipped to hire. So, you know, as much as you can command things from the people you're interviewing, you as a Shopify merchant or an e-commerce store owner, you have a responsibility to approach those interactions as a professional also. And it doesn't mean you need to be a developer, but you do need to understand the basics. I think that was kind of a workaround to your question, but you know, I think it, both ways it comes down to, I'm always looking for excellent communicators.
Okay, so communication is super important, not just someone's past work or their rate. Touching on, you mentioned learn the basics of the technology. Like, how do I learn the basics of the technology, and how much do I need to know to be good at picking a developer and to be able to communicate effectively with a developer?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you can read a lot on the Shopify website about Shopify's technology. Shopify has a YouTube channel where they're actually training, you know, partners, designers, developers, and merchants to understand the basics. But a shortcut to understanding would be to connect with a developer, you know, in your local area and take that person out for a coffee or lunch, or if you really don't know them, offer to pay them for an hour and explain the underlying technology to you. And I think just in that 1 hour, you can probably come away with enough knowledge to really kind of sound smarter and approach the hiring problem a bit better. So that's what I would do.
Okay, cool. And now, are there specific things that make me better at knowing what to say and understanding the platform? Do I need to go all the way and learn Liquid, the Shopify language, or do I just need to know my way around the dashboard or know a little bit of HTML, CSS?
Yeah, I think knowing your way around the Shopify dashboard is really important to a certain extent. A lot of people don't even want to know that much, but I think they should. Knowing that it's called Liquid is already, like, you're already ahead. And yeah, just think, like, approaching conversations with some knowledge and being open to the person you're interviewing, like, teaching you a little bit. And you approaching them with a very specific problem. You don't need to know what the solution is, but knowing what your problem is, I think will help you, you know, hire better also.
So, like, I guess to summarize, like, to figure out or to hire a developer, first things first, go to where the developers are. Check out the Shopify experts. Or if you're on a different e-commerce platform, it seems like every e-commerce platform has their own version of this. Go there, find multiple developers, find the best fit for you who is good at communication and not just looking at their past work, and know enough to be able to communicate what you want effectively as well. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does. And if you don't mind, I'll just plug our StoreTasker product here, because I think it solves a very important problem. You know, reaching out to multiple developers can be time consuming. And so what we've tried to do, which I think adds a lot of value to the Shopify space, is we've vetted a pool of experts, and the StoreTasker platform can match your problem with an available developer that we've already vetted. So we've done a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about already to shorten the time period and the hassle that a lot of people are going through to find good people. And this is, I mean, I'm pointing out the experts directory. I think it's great, but I think it's confusing for a lot of merchants. Just like Upwork has its upsides, there's a lot of people there, but it's hard to find quality in the haystack. And so, you know, hard means it takes time. It's possible, it just takes more time. So I think as entrepreneurs, we're all time starved. So anything that you know, gets people closer to solving their problem faster, I think is key. So we're trying to do that.
If you want a shortcut, check out John's app, StoreTasker. It's StoreTasker.com, right?
That's right. That's right.
And I'll put the links in the show notes below. And it's just jumping back a little bit, back to like, how do I know if someone is a good developer? Their work might be pretty, but how do I know they're actually good? Is there something I should ask for, like some sort of case study, or should I ask for some different example of their work or something like that?
Yeah, I think I would first of all, you know, check up on their references, whether via email or, you know, phone. I think checking references is always a good idea. It takes time again. And another idea would be to have some kind of standardized test. I mean, this person will be executing on a project that will require skill, and it's always good to have like a test. And it doesn't have to be you running the test. This can come back to what I was telling you earlier. Like, you can find somebody locally, a developer, another, you know, somebody you trust or somebody you've paid to create a test and to run it for people you're going to hire if they're going to be long-term, you know, long-term commitments. But what I also like to do when I'm first working with someone, either designer or developer, is I'll work on a micro project. I'll work on something that's going to be small, maybe as fast as a couple of days. It'll be a paid job. I'll be able to, you know, check all the things that I talked about: communication, output, and responsiveness. And then that sets us up for bigger projects. So we've kind of used that small interaction to build trust with each other, as much for them as for us. And that's where you kind of can really build a good relationship with developers and designers, or, I mean, any skill for that matter, but we're talking about developers today.
Can you give me an example of a micro project and what that might look like?
Yeah. For a designer, that could be like a homepage study. So instead of committing to the whole website, you commit to like a landing page or like a homepage study. For a developer, it could be, you know, a theme tweak or an app configuration or something that would take 1 or 2 hours to execute on. And, you know, and for that, you need to have a sense of what small is, but yeah, very small things that would be a couple of hours of work max. Maybe the person will turn it around in 1, 2, or 3 days. And that first experience will set up, whether or not you guys want to move forward on a bigger project, like full time, part time. So I think it's like hiring a staff member. You need to kind of train, get to know each other. It's a bit rocky at first, but once that trust is built, then there's an opportunity for momentum and good working relationships.
Okay, and if I need a developer from like start to finish, like, okay, so I look through my list of experts, I find some, I talk to some, I find one that I like who's good at communicating, then I work on a micro project with them. How long does that process take, and how long should it take?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it comes back to what I was saying earlier. You need to take ownership of what you need done. This means you have to know as much about it, at least as much about the problem, to be able to communicate it properly. There's a bunch of links and articles, and I actually wrote an article on the StoreTasker blog about how a Shopify merchant can write an effective brief. And very often, developers, designers, engineers won't even entertain an inquiry if it's not well thought out. And rightfully so. Why should they? You'll end up being a customer. They're trying to work with excellent people also. So they're looking for people that will take responsibility and put some time into it. So it depends on the level that the entrepreneur is at, but putting in time to understand what a good job brief looks like, and we can link that up after, is it doesn't have to be long. It's like 4, 5, 6 steps. You get better at it. So you'll get faster at hiring, at managing little projects, managing mid-sized projects, and then managing big projects. It's a process, like any other skill. It's not, you know, it's not as sexy as marketing, but we think it's an important problem, so we're trying to solve it.
Yeah, totally. And I'll put that article in the show notes. So the value of StoreTasker is really that you shortcut this entire process of having to find a developer, talking to multiple developers, figuring out who's the best fit, who's good at communication, and then running the micro project, you do all that before someone can apply for jobs on your marketplace, right?
Yeah, so we vet the experts. So just to give you some context, the Hey Carson project, all the developers are on staff. And I've used my vetting methods and my interviewing methods to vet the freelancers that take jobs on StoreTasker. And so we think that, you know, just the fact that we screen for communication is a big benefit to merchants who use the platform, because they're jumping on the platform and they know they're going to be dealing with someone who can communicate clearly. This is not always the case when you deal with, you know, experts on Upwork and other platforms. We've also set the price to a standard price of $65 an hour. And, you know, I guess the full project rate will depend on how big the project is assessed at, but there aren't many places where you can hire an expert developer for just 1 hour. This is unheard of. A lot of agencies and developers will require a bank of 10 to 20 hours. They'll do your small project, but they'll require that upfront commitment. And StoreTasker kind of enables the pay-as-you-go model for bootstrapped e-commerce store owners.
That's cool. And like, what's the difference between, is there a different approach to use when you're trying to hire someone for a smaller task versus like a big project, like an entire redesign or something like that?
Yeah, like I think ideally you always want to start with a small interaction and then work your way up to a bigger project. A small job can be done with email, maybe there never needs to be like a phone call. A bigger project, I would highly recommend that you're either, you know, doing regular phone calls, like weekly meetings, or actually meeting in person, because, you know, it's a lot riskier. There's a lot more money and time and work. So you're definitely going to want to be speaking at least over the phone. Whereas a smaller job can get executed, you know, even through Facebook Messenger. But there's also always an element of risk, because if they're going to be doing work on your store, you're going to be giving them store access. So that's pretty much access to your business. So for Shopify store owners, I suggest you understand how to create, you know, how to allow collaborator accounts and limit the access or give more access than needed. Be aware that you have to have some risk, but you have to have some level of trust in the people you hire.
Is it better to give more access or less access to the store, or does it depend?
I think most cases you don't really need to give access to your sales numbers. A lot of developers will need access to your theme files. And yeah, I do think it's always wiser to give less access.
And so I guess overall the common theme here is an emphasis on good communication and not being afraid to take the time to do it right and start small and really start a real relationship instead of like just wanting the end project. It's like build a real relationship with this person so you can trust them to go into your store, make these changes, pay them, you know, if it's a web development project, thousands of dollars if you're getting a whole redesign, or you know, if it's just a few hours, just make sure there's good communication and don't rush things. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's it. I think the return on investment, like there's some time put in at the beginning, but if you can keep working with the same developer and build a relationship with that person, there's value in the momentum and the understanding and the trust and the speed that you develop with, you know, with a longer term relationship. So sure, it takes up more time at the beginning, but it's like anything else. The value is really in the momentum of that relationship as it develops.
Nice. And before we sign off, do you have any closing thoughts or words of advice for e-commerce entrepreneurs out there?
Yeah, I think, you guys, we all have a lot of things to think about when we're running a business. If I think about an e-commerce entrepreneur, a store owner, I can easily call out about 25 things that you need to be taking care of. The important thing is to, you know, learn how to delegate, hire out, whether it's contractors or staff. This skill is always going to be important, and you may be running your business alone right now, but if you have any ambition to grow, you're going to have to be good at hiring people, and, you know, embrace that, get good at it, and you'll see, and this is how I feel in my business today, the people part of the business is the hardest part, whether it's a full-time employee or dealing with a contractor, but it's also the most rewarding part when you're able to accomplish things successfully and you get momentum, and there's, you know, there's nothing like that feeling. So own that part, that one skill of the 25 plus that you need to command as an entrepreneur, and you know, good things will happen.
Yeah, good help is hard to find, but once you find it, it's great. Where can we go to learn more about you and your companies?
So there's heycarson.com, which really helps store owners, live store owners, with small tweaks up to 1 hour. And then from that, we, like you said, we developed a platform called Store Tasker for everything above 1 hour. And I encourage you guys to check both those out. Some people find a better fit with Carson. Others find a better fit with Store Tasker. And we also run a vibrant Shopify seller Facebook group at Shopify Entrepreneurs. I hope some of your listeners are already in there, but if any of them don't know about it, that's where I'm engaging with Shopify merchants every day. And there's a ton of other experts sharing their wisdom there. So it's an amazing community. So you can find us there.
Yeah, definitely check his Facebook group out. There's like almost 60,000 people in there, but even with that many people, there's still a lot of value being shared in there every day. I've been lurking for a while. I don't really engage much, but I think I'm going to change that pretty soon.
Yeah, you should. You should.
I got to get in there because there's a bunch of cool people in there. John's in there. He's cool. Definitely check it out. All those links will be in the show notes below. Thanks for coming on the show, John, and sharing your expertise.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's always fun to you know, help people break through the problems that I've broken through. And yeah, I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got something valuable out of it. Subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And if you want to work with me, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.